commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
Good afternoon, listeners.
And do I have a voice? I think I do. Yes, I do. There we go.
I had to turn up the volume a little bit, get myself adjusted. It's 72 degrees outside here in Fairbanks, Alaska. Thank you for tuning in to Shooter's Corner here at KFAR Radio. Remember, you can always listen to us live at KFARradio.com. Click on that big orange ball that says listen live. Also, you can always listen to us at 97.5 FM and 660 AM. If you have any questions or comments today or about last week's show, feel free to call in at 907-458-TALK. That's 458-8255. And if you missed last week's episode or even that awesome 4th of July episode that we had on July 3rd, you can always go to kfarradio.com, scroll down to the right side, and you'll see Shooter's Corner with Chuck Indereeden. Scroll down past our bio, and you'll see all of the shows archived right there. And we've been labeling them by name, which makes them a little bit easier to do. Okay, in the studio today, we have Teresa running the board because, as always, still, I haven't quite figured it out. And also, we have Matt Klein, one of the instructors we have with C4 Training Group, and we're going to be discussing some exciting events and maybe some upcoming stuff that we got going on with over at C4 Training Group. Also, remember, July has already passed for the ACHP, that Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit, and we have our August class currently, and I think I only have like 3 slots left on that. So if you want to get your Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit for that NICS exemption so you don't get a delay buying your gun from the good old, I don't know, federales. Nonetheless, you can sign up for that class and get that NICS exemption, or if you just want it for that reciprocity, or if you just want that basic handgun class so you can learn how to properly operate your handgun, that class is for you. Remember, our shotgun class is still August 9th. We still have slots for that. Ammo is included in the cost. If you were to source that ammo just by itself, it would be probably out of bounds.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for the cost.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then our defensive handgun for the armed citizen class is this weekend. Remember, that takes that that ACHP class, that basic pistol, and takes it to the next level. You'll then learn how to operate that handgun, obviously, beyond that ACHP, working from the holster, but now you're also doing some force-on-force stuff on that second day, which kind of, I don't know, ingrains that all those lessons. And I think hands-on kind of like meets all that objective. What do you think, Matt?
I think it tests you. I think you can be really good at a range. I think you can be really good with dry firing and just practicing on your own, but getting a hands-on demonstration, going through, I would say, stress testing, that'll really show you what you're actually made of, and it'll prove to yourself, am I good enough or do I need more training?
Exactly. Or continue to work on something.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, once again, thank you, baby Jesus, for the sun and the clear air. I think the rain knocked it down a little bit.
Oh,
got some yard
beautiful.
Work going on, so that made it a little bit nicer as well. And then also, that's it for announcements. Let's get started. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. One clarification from last week, and I know Matt would agree with this as well. We had a couple calls reference like 6 period, 6 hours, like, and then we had some discussion in our last ACHP class, and people were like, well, like, is a SIG 365 safe? Because you were talking about the 320, like having these uncommanded discharges. Yes, it pretty much seems to be isolated just to the P320. Like, because they kind of reworked that whole Striker system on it anyways, made it essentially less effective. I haven't heard anything in the media about the 365 or any of the other guns. And I know especially the 226 is very reliable. It's not going to
happen. Yeah, I mean, the 226 is such a legacy pistol. It's been worked on and reworked on that there's not an issue. I'm very much keeping up with everything SIG-wise just because that's kind of what's asked of me. All the problems have been from the P320 platform to include the M17 and M18. I know a Marine Corps company had 17 out of 30 of their pistols blow up within about a month of using them.
What do you mean by blow up?
Let's see, rounds getting stuck in the chamber. Now, this could be ammunition, right? It could be
especially
bad ammunition.
Rounds getting stuck in the chamber.
Absolutely.
Or in the barrel itself, like a squib load.
Yep. Yeah. And someone did have the I'm going to reholster, which for people that don't know, the M17 and M18 come with a safari land. So that's what's recommended by SIG. And they had a self-induced discharge. The pistol itself went off reholstering on the firing line.
Uncommanded discharge.
Correct. Yes.
That's SIG's new word.
Yes. So you know. Yeah. Well, they want you to Israeli carry with it now, but that's a whole other topic. But no, the P365 has not had any problems, and there have been a lot of rumors that the P320 and the M17 and M18 were test runs for the P365 platform entirely, just because that's what it has turned into. It's no longer a micro compact. It's a full-size pistol that's a little slimmer. The Striker's been redesigned entirely. The fire control group that you can change out with different platforms, that's all been completely redone, and it's all based off of the failures of the 320. So I don't know how if you've heard the same thing, but that's a lot online is what people have been speculating, is SIG did beta testing on the public, figured out what was wrong with it, and transitioned it into the 365. Now, the only thing I have an issue with is SIG not holding themselves accountable for any part of what's going on. They keep blaming holsters. They're blaming the handlers of said firearms. They're blaming everyone else but themselves. And, I mean, if you look at their new training manual or the manual that comes with the pistol, don't carry with a round in the chamber. Make sure they list it off. I think it's like 6 or 7 holsters that they recommend you use with, or else you have the issue of a pistol going off because you did it, not the SIG itself, even though most of these SIGs going off, it's in the holsters they're already recommending. So I will say I like a lot of SIG's platform. I think they've done a lot of good in the past, but lately to the public, I don't think they're doing themselves any justice whatsoever.
You know, it was interesting that the MSP, the Michigan State Police, when they had that FOIA request, mm-hmm. and that report came out, they were very tuned into that too.
Yes.
Like they literally didn't touch that gun, didn't take it out of the holster, nothing. They just took it off the duty belt and shipped it straight to the FBI ballistics.
Yep.
Very smart on their behalf.
Yeah.
Because that way, SIG couldn't say anything like, oh my gosh, you know, a set of keys were stuck in there. Yeah. Well, they also documented the fact that the guy still had the keys in his hands.
Yep.
You know, so it was like, okay. They tried to alleviate all of these other excuses that SIG had in the past as well.
Yeah.
So, interestingly enough. But, all right. What do you got for us today, Matt?
I got a lot of long-range rifle shooting topics to cover.
Ooh, I like long-range rifle shooting.
Do we want to talk about why we're bringing that up?
Yes, let's do that. I think this is a good time. We got a good segue before we get into the Valdez fishing report.
Sure. So over the last, I'd say, 10 to 15 years, long-range shooting has kind of come full circle. For a long time, that's how everyone hunted. A lot of war was fought with long-range engagements, and then it kind of fell off. And I think the reason why it fell off was it was seen as an older person thing, a faddish thing to do or only for hunting. And then CQB kind of came into the doctrine. It blew up on all sorts of social media, on the internet. TV shows were focusing on close quarters battle, and it really didn't do good for the long-range shooting platforms. Now you have things like PRS, which is precision rifle shooting. You'll have some of the long-range engagements involved with three-gun competitions, but it fell off. In the last 5 or 6 years, it's really come back full circle. I think people are really starting to understand how important it is to be able to be effective at long range, whether you're using an AR platform, commonly known as a gas gun, or a bolt gun, like a hunting rifle or something that's used for long-range competitions or any sort of precision shooting. One thing that needs to be said when it comes to long guns is just because you have one or a weapon that's able to push out that distance, that doesn't automatically make you a sniper, that doesn't make you a precision shooter. You're not going to go try out for some team just because you paid a lot of money for something. You have to have the training and know a lot more about ballistics and weapons, optics, all that before you can even start to really push out past, I'd say, 300 to 400 yards.
Yeah, it's kind of like the old adage that just because you have a fire extinguisher, that doesn't make you a firefighter.
Exactly, yes.
You know, Or like Katy Perry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's an astronaut now.
Yeah, the most famous astronaut.
Yep. Yeah,
knows exactly. If that's true. But with long-range shooting and it coming full circle, one of the things that people want is a class that explains everything. Everything from what your twist rate does for your round, what your barrel length is going to do, what caliber you're using, all that sort of stuff within the rifle itself. And I think we're finally able to say we're going to be able to offer that and much more with C4 Training Group.
Awesome. We're going to get ready to go into our first break. We got some news, weather, Valdez fishing report. So, hey, if you want to know what the halibut are doing down there in Valdez, this is what you need to listen to now. But when we come back, we're going to continue on this conversation, and we're going to get and dive into a little bit of the key points of the long-range rifle course that's going to be coming out with C4 Training Group. So stay tuned. We'll be right back here at Shooter's Corner. Chuck Indereed and Matt Klein.
Today's Valdez Fishing Report is proudly brought to you by 49th State Remodeling and Restoration, Alaska's trusted name in quality work. From drywall and painting to full kitchen and bath remodels, pressure washing, flood and fire restoration, even sandblasting, gutter cleaning, driveway surfacing, and log home restoration. Summer or winter, they'll even go remote. Serving Alaska statewide with over 20 years of experience. Call 907-378-5610. Remodel, restore, big or small, they handle it all. Your upgrade starts with 49th State Remodeling and Restoration.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound. We're talking with Joseph Fleischer of Anacortes, Washington, reeled in 105-pound halibut. Your very first experience. So what surprised you most about halibut fishing?
I think what surprised me the most is just the fight to get it up. It was my first experience with the halibut, and I mean it was very tiring, but I didn't give up, and I had my captain, he knew the waters and he knew how to bring it in, so he kind of coached me through that, and we got it up on the boat, and it was a great experience with lots of just, you know, emotion kind of going through it, because I was just really, really excited. So just kind of staying calm, getting the fish on the boat was the goal, so that's what we did.
What were some of the key points the captain gave you as you were reeling?
To keep tension on the reel, to put the reel in your hip, and you know, and just make sure that you're reeling it in. If it fights, let it fight, and then it will stop. And you reel it in, get it really close, and then he did the harpooning, and we got it close to the boat, and then he grabbed it and picked it up on the boat and slammed it on the deck, and it was that's how we got it up there.
Park your rig, pitch a tent, or check into your private cabin at Eagles Rest RV Resort, then explore Valdez. Eagles Rest RV Resort is the perfect place to land in Valdez. Book RV sites, glamping tents, and cabins online at eaglesrestrv.com. We now accept online reservations for our tent area. Nothing beats summer in Valdez, so the sooner you book, the better. eaglesrestrv.com. See you in Valdez.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too. Family owned and operated, keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair. Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing, unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue. Take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Pole.
Hey Fairbanks, Bryant from Auto Trim Design. Now's the perfect time to get your work truck set up right. From toppers, back racks, beacons, running board seat covers, floor liners, bed slides, ladder racks, and so much more. Auto Trim Design has everything you need to tackle any job. Our commercial toppers keep your equipment and tools secure and out of the elements. Need to keep your bed organized? Add a deck drawer system to easily access all your gear. Contact Auto Trim Design for your professional truck grade accessories today.
Customized by Auto Trim.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 72. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight. Lows level off around 53. Slight chance for rain tomorrow. Highs level off around 75. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck and Matt on Shooter's Corner at KFAR Radio here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. 72 degrees outside, nice and sunny, little puffy clouds flying around out there, and I don't know, it's not smoky and it's not overly hot, so this is gracious. Thank you, baby Jesus. All right, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in at 907-458-TALK. It's 8255, and remember, you can always go and listen to the show at the archives, kfarradio.com. When we left off for the break in that awesome Valdez fishing report, as Teresa said, what are the halibut doing? They're getting stuck on hooks. So, anyways, we're going to continue on with the show here. Long-range rifle shooting, Mr. Matt. How would you say that would translate to the armed citizen?
I think it translates very well, and I think there's a few different reasons why. With long range shooting, not only are you having to worry about everything that's going on with your weapon and all of that good stuff, but I'm also having to hunt. I'm having to, you know, protect myself against enemies foreign and domestic. Long range shooting isn't the end all be all, but every citizen should know how to employ their weapon to its maximum capability.
Perfect. We got a call.
Perfect.
I was waiting for that respiratory pause. All right. Caller, you're here with Chuck and Matt on Shooter's Corner. Go ahead.
Hey, my name's John. I saw the hunting edition in the Daily News Miner, and they had a whole section on lead versus copper bullets, and there was a promotion if you bought a couple of boxes of copper bullets, you could get money back on that. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but could you expound on the differences of that and the advantages or disadvantages of going that direction?
You talk about going from lead over to copper?
Yes, sir.
Okay, awesome.
I'll just hang up and wait.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for the call.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Lead versus copper. That is, I think, one of the less talked about transitions for rifle rounds.
I would agree, except with the exception of maybe California and a lot of other states that are trying to ban lead, period.
Yes.
And that's where that major transition came from.
Yes.
They were forcing that on the manufacturers, one. And if I remember correctly, Obama also did away with lead mining, I
yes.
think.
Yep. It was well. Obama there, which caused another spike in ammo prices, shortages, and all that sort of stuff. That's another good reason or another key point as to why the plant that was manufacturing the 6.8-millimeter rounds for the new SIG, the M5, the new rifle that the Army's switching to,
right.
The plant in Utah shut down because they were not allowed to produce lead caliber rounds coming out of there. So it actually backlogged the Army entirely for probably 10 years, affecting it right. to not have rounds for their troops.
Now, I think one of the things we could do is literally talk about at some other future point the performance characteristics as well. But I think probably the biggest thing is understanding that the manufacturers have now come up with really good performance out of copper-only bullets.
Yes.
They're phenomenal. I mean, they're getting good expansion with them by putting, like, you know, cuts and stuff like that. And
yeah.
with the advent of all this new science and stuff coming out.
I mean, science is crazy when it comes to weaponry in general. I mean, you look at the 5.56 platform, for instance, and it was tailored towards a 20-inch barrel with a 1-in-7 twist rate or 1-in-8, depending on how you want to see it. But now you have the M855A1, which is a very, very high velocity, very high pressured round. That was tailored towards the 14.5-inch. I think science over time really will help us in every sort of manner, but with weapons, it's just super cool to see what they're able to do with things that we thought were a myth in the past, and now it's coming to fruition, and really beneficial. Now, the only thing I'm not familiar with when it comes to copper versus lead is the price per round. I need to look more into that. But I imagine copper would end up being a little cheaper if you're doing full core copper rounds. Obviously, infusing it or using some sort of sabo is going to cost a little more. But yeah, I'd like to see how that plays out over time because I'm tired of ammo being expensive.
I think one of the things we should do then is let's go ahead and make a note on that and let's bring that up maybe next show.
Yeah.
Let's look at the performance and ballistic characteristics of a, let's say like maybe a 6 point, you know, a 6.5 Creedmoor or something like that, and see if they have like a lead type bullet, or at least it would be maybe a soft point lead.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? If they even manufacture one. I don't even think they do, to be honest with you. But we'll find maybe like a Remington 55 grain PSP. I mean, that's traditionally what DPS uses anyway. So versus a full copper one, which would be essentially an FMJ anyways.
Yeah. Yep.
So we'll look at the performance characteristics and stuff like that. But that's probably where the nexus is pretty much of the lead versus the copper debate anyways. So they're really trying to push that whole copper thing anyways.
Yeah, I think it's going to continue too with the climate and politics being involved hand in hand. I think we're going to see a lot more copper rounds coming out. And then maybe one day the copper is going to be bad and we can go to lead or brass or, you know, whatever they want to they feel like for that term of elections.
Tungsten.
Tungsten.
All right. Another caller. Go ahead, caller. You're here with Chuck and Matt on Shooter's Corner. Go ahead. What's your question? Greetings.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hey, this is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, I was just going to say there's kind of been a progression. A lot of the listeners may not understand it. When they hear long-range shooting, they think of like the old-school Best of the West where it was just take a turret and dial it to the right range, and then it would kill the animal instantly with a high shoulder shot. What they don't understand is there's really been an exploration of, you know, getting the fundamentals of riflemanship, you know, getting your positions down and finding calibers that perform with shot placement. It's all about shot placement. So it makes everybody who's a hunter into a better hunter. It's just not like handing somebody a 30-06 and teaching them how to deal with a flinch and hit the center of a paper plate. It's really centered on the understanding of the fundamentals of riflemanship and then understanding the technology that's involved to really make somebody more effective. And it takes a lot of shooting, a lot of support, and a lot of, like, understanding of the technology. So I applaud you guys for doing that because there's a real need for it. And the technology is completely different than, like, a lot of the listeners are older and they may have gotten a rangefinder so they can see, you know, how to shoot differently from 150 to 200 yards. But this is an entirely new enchilada. It deals with new calibers, new guns, new optics, new everything.
Exactly. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to take that rifle and we're going to push it out beyond 400. That's about where long range technically starts. And Matt alluded to that a little bit earlier when he was saying like the 300 to 400 range and stuff, because things do change. And that's some of the things that we've already developed in our curriculum is, hey, how does my ammo going to work at various temperatures as well? If I go and zero my gun, here's a lot of what people don't understand about the science behind long range shooting. If I zero my gun at 100 yards with a particular round, right, at 72 degrees Fahrenheit, and I take that same round and I need to shoot it at 40 below, what has changed in my point of impact? And a lot of people don't understand that, hey, I have to maintain a dope.
Yes.
Yep.
A dope book. And when I was shooting with AMU for a brief period of time, like, we were tracking everything by lot number as well. Like, who is the manufacturer? What lot was it? What, you know, day, month, time was that round actually like manufactured? And you fired one complete lot, knowing that pretty much everything was going to be consistent within that lot. And if you had to transition to a new lot, guess what you went and did?
Yep.
You developed a new DOPE book, right? And DOPE stands for data of previous engagements. So, like, you just maintained everything. So you knew, like, if I had to change ranges and everything, like, I could automatically input that data in my turrets. Now what's really super cool is apps. There's apps for that. Like, I downloaded one the other day as well. That literally will get all the information For you. Let's see. Where did that stupid thing go on my iPhone? What do you have on yours?
I've got a few, actually. I've got Implied Ballistics. I have the Hornady Ballistic app. There's another one that just came out that's a little more streamlined. I've got to turn my phone back on. I didn't want to go off during this. But
You can just mute it there, bro.
I can, but I know my luck. It's terrible, so I would have gotten a phone call somehow. But there is a lot that can be done. And a lot of the time, too, you don't even need a Kestrel.
Revic. Revic Ops.
Revic.
Is probably the best free one that you can get. And so it provides a lot of data. And that's what it looks like there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So jump on the App Store. I think they have an Android version as well, Revic Ops, because you can literally input your barometric pressure, the temperature, wind, everything in there, and then it'll automatically calculate what data you need to input into your system. But we got to get into the next break. We're local and national news. Thanks for the call, Tom.
Well, you guys take care. And like I said, it's all those fundamentals, too.
Absolutely. And we got that all outlined in our points for our long-range rifle course as well. We'll be right back after this break. Stay tuned with Chuck, Matt, Shooter's Corner here at KFAR Radio in Fairbanks, Alaska. We'll be right back.
This is Mark Levin. Don't miss the Mark Levin Show weekdays from 3 to 6 right here.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. Senate Republicans voting to pass a legislative package to codify around $9 billion in Trump administration DOGE cuts, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Just like with the big ugly bill, the more Americans learn about what Republicans just did in this rescission package, the more they won't like it. And the more Republicans will squirm.
This next goes to the House. They have until tomorrow to pass it. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy pushing for infrastructure improvements following a decision to pull funding for California's much-scrutinized high-speed rail project. Duffy says they're overturning initiatives from the previous administration, saying they've held back upgrades.
We're working through a historic backlog as fast as possible to make sure we can get money out the door to all of you to make sure these projects are moving and moving quickly.
The California Governor Gavin Newsom is exploring options to appeal that decision. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
People in Zan Point and neighboring communities in the Aleutian Islands and Alaskan Peninsula were shaken by a magnitude 7.3 earthquake yesterday, with many more feeling the impacts of the tsunami warning and advisory. Alaska News Source reports tsunami sirens were heard in places like Kodiak, warning residents to seek higher ground. Although the initial warning was downgraded to an advisory before being canceled outright about 2 hours after the earthquake struck at 12:37 p.m. The Kodiak Emergency Operations Center reported a 6-inch wave that was confirmed by the U.S. Coast Guard. Personnel on military bases, notably those in the Coast Guard base at Base Kodiak, were evacuated with air crews at the ready. Debbie Schmidt, the city administrator for Sand Point, told Alaska News Source less than an hour after the earthquake that it was the biggest one she'd ever felt. Another Sand Point resident, Tiffany Jackson, said the strong earthquake hit while she was having lunch with her husband and her daughter with their dog nearby. She said the dog ran under the table, started to whine, and then the house started to shake, and we thought it was just the washing machine.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Auto Trim Design has a variety of CompuStar remote starts available that are compatible with Drone Mobile, giving you the option to start your vehicle from your smart device. Ask about their proximity unlock feature that lets you unlock your vehicle as you walk up to it. No more searching for your keys while you're juggling groceries or school supplies. Auto Trim Design has been installing remote starts for almost 30 years. They're reliable, trustworthy, and stand by their work. As Ben says, we'll be here when the other guys are gone.
Going camping is the simply satisfying, relaxing way to enjoy the Alaskan outdoors. Plan to get the most out of your experience with a visit to Frontier Outfitters. Check off your list of essentials, such as tents, sleeping bags, and cookware from your favorite brands, such as Mountain Hardware, Kelty, Slumberjack, Coleman, Jetboil, and more. Garmin GPS. Protect your eyes with sunglasses by Oakley, Maui Jim, and Costa. Your successful camping trip begins at Frontier Outfitters. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle. Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing, unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue. Take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Pole.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck and Matt on Shooter's Corner here at KFAR Studios in Fairbanks, Alaska. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in at 458-TALK, 458-8255. For those of you who are live streaming, remember, and those of you who would like to in the future because you're out traveling or something, always go to kfarradio.com. You can also find our archives for all past Shooter Corner shows there as well. All right, Matt. Let's pick up where we left off. We were kind of playing with the apps a little bit there on our phones, and you also had another one that was actually pretty cool. Is that the one you could scan just the barcode on the box of ammunition and it would input all the data?
Yeah, so the new update, you'll be able to do that. It's called SBC. I'm not sure exactly what SBC stands for, but if you just type in SBC in the...
Small box code.
Small box.
I just made that up.
That makes sense. I would believe it. It might be simple ballistic calculator.
That's probably better.
maybe a little bit, but I'm not here to argue. I like to return. No, but you can, the new update, you'll be able to scan the barcode and it'll tell you everything about that round. Now, what's cool about this is you're putting in what type of ammunition, right? Which is pretty plain and simple when you're trying to calculate your ballistics. But the other thing you're doing is you type in whatever rifle you have, it'll pull it up. You can pull up your make, model, twist rate, whatever. And then that's pretty much it. You put in your distance and you put in what kind of optic you're using, what kind of reticle, because that all matters. And then you don't do anything. Most people don't understand this. Your phone has a barometric pressure indicator built into it. Mm-hmm. It's also pulling temperature from everywhere. It's going to pull your direction based off of the phone, but it'll also give you your location. So it puts all of that into the app for you, so you don't have to do a single thing outside of adjust your optic and fire. Now, I'd say 90% of the time, the data that comes off of these apps is going to be 99% correct. Sometimes you do have to make a little tweak or adjustment because that app is assuming that you're on a perfectly stable platform. It's not calculating in the shooter fatigue that may be occurring or whatever nuances in training you may have. You may not have bubble leveled your optic to your weapon entirely or maybe not tightened it down enough. So you might
have optic wiggle. Technical stuff that people don't understand.
Yep.
A bubble level at distance.
Makes so it, simple.
Oh, my gosh. What so a huge simple. Distance. Because if your level is off just a little bit, what does it do to your point of impact?
Oh, throws it.
Shifts it.
Yeah.
Yeah, people don't understand that as well.
Especially when you're trying to hit a 6-inch gong at, you know, even something as simple as 300 yards. If you're off by 2 degrees, your round is going in an entirely different direction than you wanted it to. Now you're having to adjust and you sit there. You're wasting more time and more money on rounds that you don't have or you don't want to spend
on. $3 to $4 a round.
Yeah, no, the new 6.5 rounds I bought, they were $8 a round. And that's, I don't want to sit there and play with that all day. I want to be as accurate as I can. So taking that time prior to going out and engaging, I did everything I possibly can, my pre-combat checks and inspections, to ensure that I am as good as possible. That way, when I go out, I'm not wasting my time and I'm not wasting my money where I don't need to.
You know, that's one of the things you just mentioned was the cost, and lead significantly cheaper than copper bullets, right? And we're not talking the rounds itself. We're talking about the actual projectile, the bullet, you know, one of the components of a cartridge or a round. And the reason why is copper is more expensive due to the material costs and CNC machining, actually.
Ooh.
I didn't know that. For monolithic bullets, solid copper rounds like Barnes TSX and Hornady GMX cost significantly more. So that's just one of the things that we could potentially talk about in a future show.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, kind of caveat on that a little bit, you know, like the hands-on training is part of that long-range course that we're talking about. Obviously, we'll have that pre-fire discussion and everything, but like phase one is going to focus on developing that stable shooting platform, zeroing the rifle, creating a dope card for that gun. Phase two involves engaging targets from various positions, unsupported, supported, tripod, barricade, and then phase three introduces time shots at multiple distance to test that speed and accuracy and kind of bring that whole thing home. Phase 4 adds stress, physical exertion on timed shoots to simulate real-world conditions. And then that bonus we're going to add on the end is going to be that 10-round Texas Plinking Challenge.
If you haven't watched the 10-round Texas Plinking Challenge, for all the listeners or even anyone here, go on YouTube, look that up. That is, it's a very hard challenge. It is a 1,000-yard shoot, but we can dumb that down depending on
our by scaling the targets.
Exactly, yeah. But that is really fun because you legitimately only have 10 rounds. You're getting scored for every single round you're firing. If you get a first round MPUC on 1,000, here's the points. Then you choose smaller targets that add up. It brings competitiveness into a class or even with a friend group, but it also tells you maybe your rifle, maybe now you're out shooting your rifle, which everything outside of the 242 is capable of, which is the Bradley chain gun. But it's also going to tell you your limitations. It's going to tell you maybe I don't cheap out on ammo if I want to shoot out to 1,000. Maybe 50 cents a round versus $5 a round definitely makes a difference. But that is a really fun challenge. I employ everyone to go out and watch and maybe try if they can.
And we're going to add that to our course.
Absolutely.
I agree. Because competitiveness does what? Solidifies.
Yep.
Locks in those lessons. So, all right, what else we got?
If I could explain why long-range shooting is more important to people. So I kind of touched on it before. It's not just the hunting aspect. It's not just the enemies of foreign or domestic. You can take all those things in consideration, but long-range shooting, it could be considered an art, which I absolutely believe it is. But taking it back, yesterday there was an earthquake in Anchorage, and while there was a lack of a tsunami, which
in Anchorage, it was actually in Sandpoint.
Sandpoint, excuse me.
Down on the Aleutian chain.
I'm new. but
Boise Bell.
But
banging into my microphone. Sorry, Cindy.
Anywho. It's, something like that where a natural disaster, we don't really think much of it because we have progressed so far in society as the United States. That we don't have to worry about things happening with natural disasters on a grand scale. Now, a tsunami, if Alaska had a single point infrastructure for power complexes, like anything electric related or gas, something like that could knock that infrastructure out entirely. Now what happens? My supply chain for food is dwindling. So what do I need to go do? I need to go hunt. I need to start to look at what I can't even hunt in my area, if you haven't already. Well, that happens, and data shows that hunters are engaging their target, deer, bison, whatever, within 100 to 200 yards. That is longer range, but that is not long range, if that makes sense.
Exactly.
And the biggest problem with that is if something is to happen, throw that data out the window, because now everyone's going to be hunting. So now all these densely populated areas, even as simple as 500 people and less, those animals are going to flee. Your way to feed yourself and your family is now going to become very sparse. So you're going to need to start moving out farther. With that, if I see something at that 400 to 600-yard range, I might need to engage it then because I might lose it. Or there's other hunters in that area. I need to engage that target, and I need to be able to hit that shot accurately so I can feed my family. Not only that, if something is to happen where food is starting to get scarce and all that, you look at something as simple as any rioting that takes place in the lower 48, what happens? Everything gets bought out very quick. Then there's looting. Well, you do that in an area where I need to hunt for my food. I can't just go to Costco and take stuff off the shelf and leave. What usually follows with that is marauding or looting of your place. Well, if you have any sort of property at all, people might come to you. So how are you going to defend yourself? It's not all close quarters battle. It's not always going to be a pistol engagement. I might need to stop people that are coming closer. How long is the police response time from Fairbanks to 4 hours north? If there wasn't anything, the electrical was down and all that.
If they can even respond anyway.
Absolutely. And I don't want to take that risk.
Right.
And if I can take a preventative measure to where I'm not actively engaging someone, but I'm using a psychological operation and firing around them, maybe to scare them away, I absolutely can do that. If that means preservation of my family and myself, if they come closer, they'll find out eventually how much training I've done. But in that meantime, I want to be able to be prepared for that scenario. And then, like we talked about the last time I was on, Red Dawn, the likelihood of the United States being invaded is extremely low, but anything is possible. And if someone wants to play that game, it's going to be the citizen that stands up for it. We watched ourselves in Afghanistan with the Taliban. We fought them constantly. It's not, they weren't a uniform force. Well, same thing will apply here. If someone comes onto our land, the military is not going to be able to protect everyone and everything. It's going to come down to the citizens, a well-regulated militia. The whole reason the Second Amendment exists. If the military can't protect me, I need to be able to protect myself. So I need to be able to defend and maybe go on the offense, or at least disrupt enemy operations in my area to further secure my family and the people around me that I care about. And long range plays into that distance, putting engagement barriers between myself and what I could be considered, or what I can consider, an enemy.
And we're not talking just about foreign combatants either. You kind of touched on a little bit when you hit that one word, marauders.
Yes.
And so I think you need to be able to reasonably articulate, though, even as an armed citizen, though, why you made that long-range rifle shot. And yes. I tell students all this all the time. Like, if you have a handgun or something like that, that obviously is close, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's up close and personal. But if your opponent, the person threatening you, has a rifle, then you should probably have a rifle anyway.
Yep.
I mean, because this could be a long-range engagement, and then you have to be able to articulate the ability. Yes, they had a rifle. Do they have opportunity? Yes, with a rifle, they always do.
Yep.
You know, and are you in jeopardy? Well, what was our manifest intent? If they're pointing it at you and you see scope glint, to me, that's manifest intent.
Yeah. You're aiming
a gun in hand is a gun in play.
I'm going to assume it's loaded. I'm not going to assume that you're out there just dry firing. If you're pointing it right at me and the world's in chaos, I'm going to assume you are an immediate threat.
I think that'd be a reasonable assumption as
absolutely.
Well. So, all right. Stay tuned with us here at Shooter's Corner with Chuck and Matt. When we come back after this break, we'll continue on our conversation about long range rifle course and C4 training group. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too, family owned and operated, keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair. Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing, unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue. Take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Pole.
Be it work or play, your truck bed will take a beating. You need to protect your investment with an Arctic Spray-On Bedliner from Auto Trim Design. This Arctic Spray-On Bedliner was developed as a commercial coating for use on the Alaska Pipeline, which is constantly exposed to our extreme Arctic conditions. Why should you settle for anything sub-quality? Get your Arctic Spray-On Bedliner today at Auto Trim Design. And as Ben says, we'll be here when the other guys are gone.
Customized by Auto Trim.
KFAR weather.
Mainly cloudy skies expected today with daytime highs approaching 72. Winds out of the west 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 53. Slight chance of rain. Tomorrow highs level off around 75. Mainly cloudy skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck and Matt on Shooter's Corner here in Fairbanks, Alaska. Remember, always call in at 907-458-TALK, 458-8255. You can also listen to our archives at kfarradio.com. All right, when we left off, we were still talking about long-range rifle and the necessity to be able to, well, actually, not to be able to, but to have training to be able to defend yourself, your family, whatever, property. Well, not necessarily property. You and your family.
Yes.
To prevent that warmongering or the mongers from freaking marauders essentially coming onto your land. Teresa, do we still have a caller? They dopped off?
Yeah.
If they want to call back, they can call back. All right. So, anywho, What were we continue on our conversation about? Because we wanted to make sure we articulated that...
That we're not fear-mongering.
Thank you.
We are not fear-mongering. And this has to be said. A lot of the time, especially in the Second Amendment community, whether it's gear, any sort of kit, weapons, the publicity and the advertisements for it have a sense of fear-mongering in it. You should buy this because this will stop a home intruder in this event. It's the best thing to do it. And that's not what we're discussing here. It's the reality of things can absolutely happen. Fear-mongering gets a lot of oversight. Now everyone thinks everything is fear-mongering if it makes you a little scared, but that's what should push you to a certain extent to become better. You're not the best at everything. I'm not the best. Chuck is not the best. And we continue to improve on every foundational, tactical, and technical level that we can, because someone is always going to be better than you, and someone is going to get the best of you if you let it happen. That's why we teach courses. That's why we teach classes. We do everything we possibly can to make sure that you are as prepared as you possibly can. You're a prepared citizen. And without fear-mongering, explaining to you the likelihood and the reality of these things that can happen, whether it is a defensive handgun class or we are doing something with rifles or long-range engagements, it's there to make you better. It's there that I would rather you know it and never have to use it than something happens. You have to engage someone that's engaging you at, 400 to 800 yards, and you have no means to get back at that. I don't want that to happen. I want you to be able to overcome and adapt in any situation against any enemy, marauder, foreign or domestic. That's kind of my stamp on the long range stuff.
You're really big on that whole foreign and domestic thing. You remember your oath.
I remember my oath, absolutely, and I think that there are times when things feel weird, and I'm not going to get into it on here, but threats can come from within. We see it happen all the time. You look at the lower 48, especially California, the last few months, people are believing the National Guard could be a threat. The National Guard is believing that the citizens are a threat. Everyone's seeing something at a certain level, but when we start to have disarray within our country, other entities, foreign, are going to start to play on that, causing a domestic issue.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
our country does that all the time. They call it a regime change.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. CIA is really good with it. They do it all the time, too.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, so let's get into just a little bit in this last, 8-9 minutes we have, maybe. Let's get into the sciences of this a little bit, because, that's kind of what I was always fascinated with anyways. And to be honest with you, I'll really date myself here, but what we were shooting was match grade M14s with zero sights. It was straight irons. We would blacken our iron sights with carbide lamps.
Wow.
I know. That's odd, right?
That's a big word. I don't even know.
Well, think of the old mining lamps that miners would have on their hats and stuff like that. Well, it puts off a black soot. And so that's how you would blacken your sights on your rifle
that's
and
smart.
Stuff. And we were shooting out to 600 meters. It wasn't even yards. So 600 meters. It was pretty cool at Fort Riley, Kansas. We were actually able to, as a spotter, be able to tell somebody whether they had an X or an 8 or a 7 just watching the vapor trail.
Yep. It is very – doing all that, again, long range is – it's a very drawn-out process because everything you're trying to be as precise as possible. There's a lot of setup involved and all that. But watching it happen, especially when you are a spotter and you watch that vapor trail, I don't care
how old
you are. Yeah. It is. It's like seeing an Apache fly over you or seeing a bald eagle land.
No.
It is the coolest thing ever.
No. I would say it's more like watching an A-10 on a strafing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even it just flying overhead, a low flyby 100 feet, the coolest thing ever. Brings you back to being a kid.
Turbine engines. All right. So cool. So let's talk about how bolt guns versus gas guns.
Bolt guns, yeah, absolutely. So...
Longer barrels and bolt guns often provide higher muzzle velocity, while shorter barrels and gas guns prioritize what? Maneuverability.
Yep.
So twist rates, faster twist rates, i.e. a 1 in 8 for a 6.5 Creedmoor, stabilize heavier bullets for long-range accuracy. Barrel temperature, a lot of people don't take that into consideration, that first cold shot.
Yep. They don't take that into consideration. The other thing people don't take into consideration is how your barrel was built. Is it cold hammer forged? Is it fluted? Does it taper from the muzzle to the, from the bolt face itself down to the muzzle? If you have a heavy profile like a bull barrel, it's really thick. Your weapon is way heavier. It's a more stable firing platform. You're not going to be running around with it, but it takes a lot longer to heat up. But when it heats up, it stays hotter longer. So now I have to go into fluting and back and forth. So taking all those things into consideration really should determine what your use case is and how you're going to apply it.
Yeah, because the barrel temperature does affect the accuracy.
Absolutely. I mean, what happens when metal heats? It expands. Now I have, you know, a certain diameter.
Heads and grooves have changed.
Yep. Everything starts to expand, especially if I'm doing a high rate of fire, which on a bolt gun is about 10 rounds a minute. With an AR platform, a 308 of that nature, probably 40 to 50. But you start to open that barrel up. Now you're going to start to see you might have had a 0.25 MOA, so a quarter of an inch at 100 yards. But I start either doing cover fire or I start to engage multiple targets, multiple steel targets if I'm out of range. You're going to see that expand to 1 MOA, 4 MOA, you know, just depending on how long you're keeping it up. And then you have to think, how much time do I need to let it cool down in order for it to get back to that zero set that I had it at in the first place?
Optic selection.
That's such a deep dive. Optics choice.
I know. We can kind of skim the surface on that,
I'll
too.
I'll say, because if you have the difference between, so you have three different types of optics. You have a, it's called a BDC, a bullet drop compensator, that's built into your optic. But that optic is specifically built for what kind of round you're firing.
Yeah, then you have the caliber, and also could be based on weight too.
Yep, absolutely.
The projectile.
Then you have MOA, which MOA is cool, but I think it's, there's a lot of science that has to go in with MOA, or excuse me, not science, but math. And I'm not a big math guy.
So are you more of an MOA guy or a mil?
Mil. And mil, at every distance, no matter what, I'm always dialing 0.1 or point, or I'm going up a full. Everything is just a micron. It's set on a standard level. MOA, you have a 60th of a degree, you're worrying about X, Y, and Z. Mil, click, boom, I'm done. And mil is really good, especially taking multiple engagements at multiple ranges. And I look, oh, hey, I was aiming 2 mil low and my round impacted 3. I just adjusted up, I'm right back on target every single time. And I'm not really having to worry about a whole lot. Mil is a lot easier to use for the everyday person.
So what about the people that say the MOA is actually gives you finer adjustments then? Because an MOA technically is 0.26 at 100, whereas a mil is 0.36 inches at 100.
Yeah, so MOA in the grand scheme of things, it is
finer.
Finer, but I'm not, I think for most people, especially if you're dedicated your life to hunting, you're probably going to be using something that's MOA, but you also know what your engagement distance is. You know exactly, this is what I want to be shooting at within this and this. I know this. If I'm using mil, it's going to be, I could be doing target shooting competition. I could be hunting multiple things, you know, whatever. And that's way easier for either dialing for wind and elevation or anything in general. It's very hard. I'll always go with mil, not only because the military taught me how to use mil, but growing up in a shooting world, I used
MOA. We pretty much use meters and everything.
Yeah, everything's
so
meters.
So it translates easy to the metric system.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is what we were taught in the military anyway.
Yes.
So I guess the thing about that is essentially, if you're going to input data into your turrets, then if you have a compound 5 acres or more, then develop a range card.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's actually one thing I meant to put on here was the range card as well. It does become
does
very
make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does make a difference. Because you're not always going to have that laser range finder, and if it operates on batteries, batteries fail.
Yep, all the time.
Always have a backup. So, all right, what else do you think?
Honestly, I would really like for people to understand, and again, this, it was sort of faddish, and now it's not, but when it comes to support, bipods, tripods, sandbags, and bench. Bench shooting, I think, can be fun. I think it is applicable to certain things, but you're not going out on a patrol and setting up a bench. You're not going out and hunting and putting a bench down. You're not doing really a lot of that. A lot of hunters nowadays, more than anything, are using tripods. In the military, we've been using tripods for a long time to do certain aggressive angled engagements, as well as, Chuck, you very well know, with machine guns, we use tripods for everything, having a very stable platform to traverse from.
Well, that was easier because you had a TNE, a traverse and elevation mechanism, yep. And then you could set it up for the final protective fire.
Yep, I know.
In the
exactly
dark, without even knowing.
Yeah, exactly.
Running all the way to the right, elevation set, just burst fire.
Yep, going steel on steel.
But
But I definitely think that the tripod shooting is one. It's really fun. It's gonna kick your butt. But it's also extremely crucial to know that I can fire from my tripod. I can also use my tripod as a brace if I'm maybe not in the most comfortable position. But putting a tripod leg, having it set up, putting it in between my thigh and my my calf, and then having my arm wrapped around it, my weapon up, and my sandbag.
Awesome. What do you think we should do for next week?
Oh, man. Miniguns for the civilians?
I love it. All right. Thank you, listeners. That ends our show here for Shooter's Corner. And that's a kind of a brief introduction into C4 Training Group's long-range rifle course that we're going to try to put together. I think we got like a 95% solution here.
Yes, absolutely.
And we're going to continue to refine this as well. So thank you for tuning in with Chuck Indereden and Matt Klein here at Shooter's Corner at KFAR Radio here in Fairbanks, Alaska. We will see you next Thursday at 11 o'clock.
You've been listening to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or any past episode, log on to KFARradio.com and click on the archive page. And thanks for listening. This is